My daddy is a disciplinarian type. My daddy, I don't ever remember my daddy saying, "Wait till you get home. Wait till you get home." He never said that. He disciplined you wherever you committed the sin. If you're in the parking lot, you got it there. If in the vestibule, you got it there. In church, you got it there. At Wyatt's Cafeteria, I remember one time, Wyatt's Cafeteria at Hancock Shopping Center in Austin, Texas, just off of I-35. We were going through the line. As a kid, you know, a six-year-old, why do you do these things? I don't know why you do them. I saw that little bowl of Jell-O had those little Jell-O cubes. I sucked a couple of them out. Why do you do that? I don't know why I did it. I just sucked a couple of them out. I was going to put it on my tray. Next thing I knew, whoa, whoa, on my back, little cube just... My daddy discovered the Heimlich and never got credit for it. Now get this part. There was a man behind us in line that we did not know from Adam, and he said, "Good hit. Good hit. That's a good hit." My daddy starts talking and says, "It don't hurt him. I guarantee you it don't hurt him." That man said, "He'll thank you for it someday. I guarantee you, he will thank you for it someday." I have yet to thank my daddy for that. Sorry, it's in my heart, though. I remember those days, and it was tough times. We didn't have a lot of money, and I'm glad we did. Because, you know, I can relate to my people better sometimes. I mean, I better sermon illustrations when you didn't have anything growing up. And I can stand out there in the parking lot with my men. You know how men are. They get out in the parking lot and go, "I guarantee you one thing. We were growing up, we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention." I can stand out there with them. I said, "Man, I know." And what we did for entertainment, we would drive down to Austin, we'd drive to Congress Avenue, park in front of the State and Paramount Theaters. They're right next to each other. And we'd watch people line up to go in the movie, watch some come out, watch another group line up. We'd just sit there in the car, 49 Ford, and just watch people. I remember asking my mother, "What are we doing?" She said, "We're watching people." Now, hush. At home, we had our own form of entertainment. We'd tell stories and just, you know, be together. We didn't have a television until I was about 7. And before that, you know, just, you know, at home stuff. And, but when we got our TV, I remember as a little fella, that was a big day. My daddy came home, he carried that TV in and said, "Don't touch anything, don't touch it." Boy, and he was really proud. You know, I look back on it now, and boy, he was proud. You know, he'd saved up and had that TV there. We turned all the lights out, because black and white, we believed, showed up better in the dark. We just sit there and we'd watch it. Sergeant Bilko, I remember. We just watched TV together. And we didn't have central heat or central air. You know, we just had screen windows and screen doors, and June bugs would watch TV with us. You know, back then they just started. We just, you know, thump them off the screen if we got tired of them. Well, we'd watch that TV, and I got caught up in it. And I'd watch those old movies that had Slim Pickens in there. Old Slim Pickens. I remember in 1969, it was a tremendous year. Monday Night Football began. For years, preachers never got to see an entire football game on Sunday. God, in His providence, before VCR, gave us Monday Night Football. Remember Monday Night, Howard Cosell, no doubt about it, it's Lanny Dawson back. The pass, he throws the bomb to us, it's Taylor Magnificent. Now later, third quarter, once again, Lanny Dawson, loquacious, abstemious quarterback, once again. Throws to us, it's Taylor number 89, Magnificent. Oh, those were the great days. Another. The boxing matches, Howard Muhammad, no doubt about it, but what about Smoke and Joe Frazier? I'm tired of Joe Frazier. If they'll be smoking, I'll be jabbing my poop. I'll put the ball on me. If I don't ring that bell, I'm going to jump over the roof and whoop you. I don't know what you're saying. And then I remember, you know, picking up. As I'd grow older, I'd get into politics like everybody does. You know, Jimmy Carter. "How about you? I'm happy to be here. with you tonight. But due to lack of time, I'm going to turn it over to Ronnie.
Well, yes. I just want y'all to know that Nancy and I realize that we're getting older. We're sort of past prime. We know that we're getting ready to cross over. We were trying just the other day to get some ideas for our tombstone, an epitaph on our tombstone. Well, I went walking through a cemetery, and she was with me, and I came across one tombstone that said, "Here lies an honest man and a politician." I said, "How about that, dear? Two men buried in the same grave."
Can you? But let me pick on some preachers a little bit. Can you imagine if, remember Paul Lynn, Uncle Arthur on Bewitched, Hollywood Squares? Can you imagine if he'd been a preacher?
Okay, people, listen to me. Oh, I've got a sermon for you. A two-pointer. Turn or burn. Oh, I love it.
Can you imagine if Barney had been a preacher, given the invitation?
"You know you need to come on down here. Otis, you know you need to come on down."
You know, Baptists are great. I mean, the church, isn't it wonderful to be involved in the church? I mean, you have your home, you need your church home. But I remember when I was a little nervous about Baptists. I don't mind telling you, I was raised in Memphis, as you remember me telling. I remember going to Baylor University to play baseball. And there I was going to Baylor, I was nervous about going to a church school. I'd always dreamed of going to a state school. Party hardy. Buggy, buggy, woogie. Build a testimony. Little humor there, whatever. Or they acted like they didn't know what I was talking about. But I got there at Baylor University, and I was a little nervous. I figured everybody'd be walking around going, "Hello, bro. How are you? Okay." I just figured they'd be that way. I got there, they weren't that way. They're regular. Baptists are regular people. They're sinners just like everybody else. Now, we didn't dance much back then at Baylor. If you did, you had to call it a function. And it had to be off campus. Some could function with an unction, I'm telling you. And but I tell you what, those Baptist girls could smooch you greet you with a holy kiss. I mean, those girls could kiss. I said to myself, I'd rather smooch than dance any day. So I walked the aisle at Columbus Avenue Baptist Church, Waco, Texas. That's the truth. I walked down the aisle, took the pastor by the hand, and remember him saying, "Yes, what's your decision?" I said, "I want to join up." He said, "Have you been saved? Have you been saved?" I said, "March 15th, 1971, on a Monday night at 8 o'clock. Boy, it's the wise guy. He said, "Man, that's great. That's great." I said, "That's right." I told him about it. He said, "Great, great." Then all of a sudden, here comes the big question. Had he been baptized? I said, "Little dab will do you." He said, "Little dab won't do you here." I said, "What do y'all do?" He said, "We immerse you." I said, "Immerse." He said, "Baptizo. Put under to your butt." And that night I was up in the baptismal room. A baptismal room is the last, thing an architect designs in a building. It's whatever is left over next to the heating units, air conditioning units, box of minutes, an old together we build sign, and a bale of hay from the Christmas cantata. I asked an architect one time, "Why are they such odd-shaped rooms?" He said, "Because if we don't make them odd-shaped, an education man will try to put a Sunday school class in them." Isn't that right? I remember that night I was going to be baptized. Now, you need to understand something. I'd never seen anyone immersed before. I was a Methodist. I'd never seen it. I was going to be the first one I was going to see with my eyes closed, I guess. But I was bold. I got up there, and there, my first encounter with a deacon. He was one of those deacons. He sort of had a big tummy and a short tie. Y'all know what I'm talking about? These are the greatest deacons, these kind. I mean, they usually give you half a calf for Christmas. You know what I mean? And I got there, and he said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" And he was from China Springs, just outside of Waco. He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up?" And he finally went, and he pointed to these culotte outfits that are hanging. I looked at him, I said, "Man, these are culotte outfits." He said, "Rub up." I said, "Rub up? Rub up? Rub up? Rub up?" I said, "I'm a man. I'm an athlete. I'm a man's man. I ain't never put on a culotte outfit."
He said, "You need to if you love Jesus."
I said, "Where does it say that in the Bible?" He said, "Hezekiah 4. And sounded good to me. You might go home and look it up. Right? I wouldn't advise you to do that, but next thing I knew, I had that culotte outfit on. I had a piece of tape on my left shoulder with my name on it. And I practiced this in my ministry. Because I hate to get out there in the baptistry, forget a name, and go, "This is Bubba." "This old Bubba right here." You know? So I practiced, and they put a piece of tape on my left shoulder with my name on it, with an M underneath my name, which stood for Methodist, which meant this one stays under just a little while. I'm just kidding, don't get shook up. And then I got out there in the water, and they put me underneath the water, wouldn't let me up until it said tide. That's how I became a tither. That's my tithe and testimony. I have started a new thing in my church. I put them under and I have them say tithe and together we build, you know. Well, y'all know about that. Well, when I was pastor at First Baptist Church, Saginaw, Texas, on the north side of Fort Worth, just on the north side of the stockyards. I don't remember it being funny, but it was a great ministry there. I was there 5 years. I remember one Easter Sunday, the biggest day in Christendom, Easter Sunday. Amen. Everybody comes to church on Easter. I mean, they come in, they pack it in. I mean, people hadn't been there in years. They come to Easter. They come on Easter. I was ready. I had my sermon ready. I was ready to let the hammer down. I had our high school basketball coach giving his testimony. He was ringing the bell. I mean, he was doing good. I mean, I was almost sitting there going, sick 'em, baby. You know, you're doing great. Boy, I was getting fired up in the spirit. All of a sudden, water from the ceiling starts dripping on the choir. Our air conditioning units were up in the attic. Condensation pans were overflowing. Water dripping on the choir. You know how choir people are.
It is dripping out of the choir.
So a couple of the men, you know, of the husbands are out there going, "Yeah, what, baby?" So they get up to go and fix it during the service. All they need to do is turn off the air conditioning units and we'll fix it later. But they're going to go up there and be a hero and get up in the attic and fix it on Easter Sunday. We could hear them up in the attic. You know, walking around. The coach giving his testimony, he hears. People hear something. I'm sitting there acting like everything's fine, and in my heart I said, "I'm going to kill him." You've heard of it happening. It happened. O'Terry came through the ceiling. He crashed through the ceiling right above the baptistry. Just whoosh, here he comes crashing through, and he catches himself on these two bicycles. He's torn his pants. He's bleeding. He's hanging for his life. He's trying to step on something. Ain't nothing to step on. You know, and I mean, it scared everybody. Everybody went, "Whoa, whoa." And the coach turns, and he has a lavalier on. Only preachers can pray this fast. I remember praying, "Dear God, don't let him say anything. You tell him football people." I said he would, but just in case. And he didn't. But he turned, he saw the guy, and he said this. Now, this made the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He saw him hanging there. He looked at me and said, "Brother Dennis, we having a healing service. Someone just came down the road." Then everybody goes, "Bah!" You know, lay people love for things to go wrong. They're going, I mean, people hadn't been there in years. They're going, "Man, is this what it is there for Sunday?" I said, "This is Sunday." That's not the bad part. This is the tough part. While the guy's hanging there, you can hear the other guy talking to him. Like we can't hear anything. What does he say? But he says exactly this. Can you see anybody? And old Terry, who's hanging there for his life, says, I can see the choir. Two more men go up there and pull him out. And, you know, and he's bleeding and he's hurt and everything. They take him away. And I got up, I preached, no decision. So I called on a man that prays long because I knew I needed time to calm down. So when I got to the back, when people come out, I go, well, good to see you. God bless you. Thank you. Right back. He finished praying. The first guy out was a rancher that only came at Easter. This is the truth. He had a big old chew of tobacco in his mouth. Never did spit during the service. We did appreciate that. He came up to me and he said these words, Brother Venus, told my wife no need for me to come today. Told her if I did, the roof would cave in, sure enough. Janice is going to give me a little background music. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And I'll let you you'll go ahead and start up. One of my favorite voices, I guess, is old Jimmy Stewart. And I love old Jimmy. And this is a thing called the Sweetheart Special. And I wrote it for my sugar babe a long, long time ago. And every Valentine's Day and what have you, I share it with her. So, being she's not with me here tonight, I'll just share it with you. I'll be sharing it with her tomorrow over the phone. But it goes like this, Jimmy Stewart. I remember when I was just a little boy. And I remember my daddy saying, Jimmy, you need to date some girls. And I said, Daddy, I ain't seen a girl in months out here in the country. He said, well, saddle up old Blue and go down to Murphy's Bar. And they're having a do-si-do down there tonight, and I want you to go. So I saddled up old Blue. Blue was 14, too. Got down to Murphy's Barn while they were do-si-doing for Jenny Reeland. I don't know, I just didn't feel like dancing, you know. So I went back behind the barn and got me a chew. And I had it all in there, just all situated, perfect. And all of a sudden I saw this gazebo. Y'all know what a gazebo is, sort of, don't you? Sort of a souped-up chicken coop, you know. I saw the prettiest little filly I'd ever seen in there, the prettiest little girl. You fellas, you won't believe what I did. I threw out a perfectly good chew. But I saw where it landed. And so I went over there to her. And I said, hi, my name's Jamie. What's your name? She said, well, my name's Mark. And I said, Mark. Why, Mark, why, that's a beautiful name. I said, do you want to dance? She said, I'm a Baptist. I said, well, can you walk? She said, well, the best of them. I said, well. So we started walking and talking. Well, the next thing I knew, she was walking down that aisle, and we got married. And we kept walking and talking. We'd be out in the country. We'd just walk and talk. One day we was walking and talking, and she said, Sugar Boogie. And I said, yeah, honey, love, darling. She said, baby, love, I'm PJ. Back then, we never said pregnant, just said PJ. I said, well, praise God. And we kept walking and kept talking. Well, we had Henry, we had Nathan, we had Sam, we had Harley, we had Sarah, and then we had the boy. And when she had the boy, well, she walked on to be with the Lord. Oh, how I miss my Martha. Why, Martha was the love of my life. Well, finally, all the kids grew up. They all went on their own way. But I sure could get low and blue around Valentine's time. And one time, I got so low and I got so blue, I got in my truck and I drove over to Murphy's Barn. It's about to fall over, but it brought back memories. I went over to that little gazebo. Why, it's as pretty as it ever was. But all the memories. I got out of the truck and I walked down those little pathways out in the country.
And all those memories flooded in on the hallways of my mind. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't take it anymore. I fell down to my knees. And I heard the Lord speak to me. Now, not in an audible voice. I ain't never heard Him speak in an audible voice. But He speaks in a voice that's louder than an audible voice. He speaks to your heart. He said, Jimmy, don't walk ahead of me. And don't walk behind me. But walk right along with me. Walk humbly with your Lord. And I've come to tell you tonight that if you'll walk humbly with Him, there's joy and there's laughter that's deep. God bless you, and thank you so much for letting me come tonight. You know, I tell people all the time, a merry heart gives like a good medicine. People don't laugh enough. Now, I make people laugh, and I like to laugh, but sometimes I don't laugh enough. You see, we need to be reminded that a merry heart doeth like a good medicine, and we need to be reminded that for the joy that was before Him, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. Did you catch that? For the joy that was before Him. And each one of us, we have a different road to hoe. Each one of us, we have a different cross to carry. But we can do it with joy. And that's what the world is looking for. They're wondering, is there such a place, a wonderful place, where people come together and know that kind of joy? And the good news is, yes, it's here in the church. And so I hope and pray that you'll continue to be the church you've been, and that you'll entertain folks with the gospel and the good news and the joy that it brings. And remember, a merry heart doeth like a good medicine. And I realize tonight I've given you the whole bottle. Most times you just need a spoonful. God bless you. Thanks for putting up with me tonight. Thank you. Thank you, James.